Did you hear in the news that they spent $9.5 billion on advertising for this election? What we could do with $9.5 billion. We're a little bit askew here in one person's opinion. But I do hope you all voted. I hope you all voted. And we did some amazing things. We voted that all children in school will get lunches, get food, will be fed. Amen. Amen. I remember as a kid being hungry before lunch, and my classroom was right next to the kitchen, and they would bake bread, and we'd be sitting in there, and my stomach would get up and run down the hall trying to get, you know. Anyway, Christ's grace of compassion continues, and that's one of those things that we decided to do, and I'm glad. I would like us to take our political affiliations and treat them like sports affiliations. Some of you might be Broncos fans, some of you might be Raiders fans, but we get along. You win, it's like a Rockies game. If they don't win, it's a shame, but you go out to the ball game. And afterwards, you have a tailgate party or before, and you get along. You might just kind of rough each other up verbally and harass each other and tease each other, but we get along around those divisions. Maybe we should do that around politics. What do you think? Try and be a little more amicable, a little bit more the peacemakers that Christ has called us to be. It's a job. It's something that is graphically needed in our society today. I think we all know that. We all see that. Everybody's aware of it. How to get there, who to get there, and maybe us. I have to list one interesting phenomena, and it references the picture on the cover of your bulletin. Did you look at it? I thought I cited it. Yes. Okay. Carlo, tell me, James, how do you pronounce that? Saracini? He just went to Barcelona, went to Spain, so I was going to pick on him to pronounce Spanish for me. 1610, the martyring of Saint Cilicia. Here's where it comes from. In our gospel lesson, as you were listening, and I know you're all listening very attentively, but Jesus said, they will put some of you to death. But only a sentence or so later it says, but not a hair on your head will perish. Does that strike any of you as being a contradiction? I mean, you won't die, but you won't perish. You're going to die, but you're not going to perish. Here is that image that for me helps us put together what we know and understand as Christians. This body, this mortal body, we all know. As each of us gets a little older and a little bit grayer and a little bit slower, we know that bodies wear out. This mortal body will someday have to put on the immortal. We have to do that. Some of you young as Bo and Hadley and you kids back in the back, you're not yet aware of this thing called aging yet. But it'll come to you. Someday you'll look back and say, I remember that sermon that Peter preached. Actually, I don't think they ever will, but that's neither here nor there either. So here is Saint Cecilia. She was a woman who did not want to get married. She was forced into marriage to a man that did not agree with her. She was a very devout Christian, and he was not. And it was a struggle, and yet they survived that, and he was converted to Christianity. But they continued to resist the government and the politics they were about, and she was eventually martyred. They were both slain. But there you see on our right-hand side a man in darkness and the sword low down in the photograph. Yes, the sword came. But you see above and to the left, you see that she did not perish. We know these things. We know that our loved ones are in God's arms, and so we understand that perishing is not something that Jesus allows. This body may die, but we live with the Lord. We rest in His arms. We are inviolate. It is a wonderful gift. God takes care of us. That ought to be an amen. 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 God takes care of us. The whole passage in Luke is intriguing. It's all about the end times. I haven't seen as much push lately, but I remember even in the 80s, there was a big push to try and read how Revelation, the book of Revelation, and Daniel and some of the other apocryphal literature and apocalyptic literature, that they were all coded language, you know, the decoding the Bible and decoding these things to find out the secrets of things, including the secret of the end of times. If we knew the day that the times were coming to an end, if we knew the day that we would come to an end, we would maybe change our behavior a little bit. I would not pay my last set of bills. I had a professor who, he and his wife took a huge vacation every year. They took out a loan and went on vacation every year. Traveled all over the world, wonderful thing. And he said, someday I will die and they'll be sitting with that loan. It was his hope that he could be able to do that. I don't remember whether that ever worked out that way. I haven't been able to contact him in decades. But the people were focused on the end times. Think about it a minute. Life was pretty harsh. We don't really pause to recognize that life was pretty harsh. They didn't have cell phones. Kids, they didn't have cell phones. Can you imagine not having a cell phone? Was there ever a time? Have you ever gotten in the car lately and you've been halfway somewhere and you thought, oh, I left my cell phone at home? Did you go back and get it? I tell you, I remember as a kid traveling all over the place and never having a phone or anything. Traveling over the mountains between Grand Junction and Denver, which we did fairly commonly when I lived over there, you had to know where all the different places were that you could pull off and get to a phone if you needed to call or tell someone something. They had CB radios, good buddy. But they didn't have cell phones back then. They barely had shoes or clothes. They didn't have toilet paper. Remember during the pandemic when we were getting short on toilet paper, what a crisis that was for everyone? Yeah, Montgomery Ward's catalogs were not here. It was just a tough situation. But think about that. More importantly, think about the people of Jesus' time. They didn't have medicine. Simple things, bacterial infections, itches, rashes, simple things, and complex things, kidney transplants. Doctors doing amazing things. Men and women, wonderful healers. And none of that was there. At sanitation, there was none. Clean water, there was none. Think about those times. Those were hard times. And with those hard times, a lot of people were thinking, boy, I'm looking forward to getting up there where it's nice and at ease and I don't have to be amongst all that struggle. We can understand that. Now, life today isn't quite as much of a burden. Although there are days when I'm trying to get out of bed and getting the old bones moving again that I think, come on, you can do it. It's like starting an old engine. A little more choke, a little more gas. Come on, we'll get there. But life is kind of pleasant on and off. Think about Thanksgiving coming up. You're going to have a clan gathering. You're going to have a big to-do, a get-together with everybody. Think about the food on the table. Think about the food for lunch. I shouldn't have said that. That's the end of you thinking about the sermon, isn't it? But we're not in such a big rush to get to the end of times today. Matter of fact, I remember talking with a fella about 10 years ago. He was retired, and he and his wife were retired. And I said, I just cannot wait for winter to get done with and get on to spring and summer. And he said, oh, I don't want to rush. He said, every day is just, we got to just live every day and just really love every day. I've been trying to do that. I'm not sure I've been doing such a good job at it, but I'm trying. But the reality is that In these days, we have much to do. We have been given gifts and graces. Some of you might be thinking, what gifts and graces do I have? Colleen is over here. She has that ability with her fingers on the keyboard. Awesome. Miss Diana's sitting over here. She has that ability with her, and it's just it's a gift from God. It's something not everybody can do those things, and we celebrate the gifts and graces we've been given, and we have much to do. And the end of time should not be as much of a concern to us as what can we do while we're here. We're here to do God's work. I'd love to have found out what all was going on when Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. My mother's sister-in-law would twiddle her thumbs. As a kid growing up, I didn't even know what that was, but it drove my mother crazy. My Aunt Verda would twiddle her thumbs. And she would sit and do that for hours, sitting there talking. I mean, if you're sitting drinking a cup of coffee, you can twiddle your thumbs as well as not. But it drove my mother crazy. I never figured out why. It was a sign of idleness to her, I suppose. But apparently there were some in the church that felt that they were called and blessed and doing God's work and that they shouldn't have to do anything else. I guess that's true in some places even today. And that's true of some places in society. But Paul goes on, now such persons we commend and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. So that's the theme. That's the title of the sermon. Do. Do. It's easy to just sit and not. But we are the people called by Christ to do. I am proud of Burns. I have to tell you that I have been a part of a number of churches over my career. And each of them, some churches have more and some less, but they tend to have at least a couple of events in the course of the year that are all about the church getting together with the church and having a little get-together. You know, a special picnic, celebration, family gathering sort of thing. And that's nice and that's wonderful and the food is always great, but what does that have to do with being the Christians called to do? Not to take care of ourselves, but to do, to do for the world, to reach out. What can we do? Some of us are thinking, well, our numbers are getting so thin now, there's nothing we can do. Au contraire. God looks down on us with one eye cocked, saying, oh, really? What is it we can do? We need to think about what those are. We need to pray. We need to consider. What is it we can do? And I do believe that Burns has much to offer. I am not schooled and taught in knowing how to do that. I'm about building churches. That's what they taught me. Evangelism, bringing people in. And that may not be where we're at as much as what we can do and how we do it. So here we are to do. To us, much has been given. To us, much will be asked. The sermon is straightforward. Do. Amen?